Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's game day, Brew Crew fans. And we'll get you ready before first pitch. Coming up, today's starting lineups. We'll debate the hot topics in Milwaukee. Plus, you'll hear from the skipper. Now, live from the Fan On Deck Studios, this is the Pella Windows and Doors Baseball On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief, on Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yes, it is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief, right here on The Fan. Mayor Mitch here, getting you set for first pitch between the Brewers and the Giants out at Oracle Park, Game 1. Of 3, a 9:15 Central Time first pitch. Zach Davies will toe the slab for the crew against Drew Pomeranz for San Francisco. And welcome in. On tonight's show, we'll hear from Brewers manager Craig Counsell after the Brewers' big-time 6-3 victory in extras against the Houston Astros, the mighty juggernaut Houston Astros. Brewers have some late-game heroics there in extra innings and get the victory to salvage a split out in Houston. And the road trip, as you heard in Evan's update, moves right along into San Francisco this weekend. A ballpark I was at just a couple of weeks ago, and man, it's as nice as it looks, I'll tell you that. So I'm a little bit jealous of anyone who's at that game out there tonight. We'll be joined also by Radio Joe Zanzola, the executive producer of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network statewide, and 10 to 2 right here on The Fan, as well as J.R. Radcliffe of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for the McCormick Law Office Roundtable coming up here in just a couple of minutes next segment here on the On Deck Show. Also, we'll go inside the clubhouse and hear from Adam McKelvey, our WSSP Milwaukee Baseball Insider, Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. He joined the boys on the Wendy's Big Show just a couple of hours ago right here on The Fan. We will get you caught up on that interview from earlier today as well. But first, before we get into tonight's game, I got to get you caught up on that great victory from Wednesday night. You know, the Brewers, again, 6-3 victory in 14 innings. Despite a career-high 15 Ks from Justin Verlander, he was rolling right along for many stretches of that game. Brewers, though, however, would jump on the board right away. Ryan Braun would promptly greet the wily veteran Justin Verlander in the first inning with a dinger to left field.
Never been one to shy away from a matchup, and he turns on one. Way back, deep left center field, and Ryan Braun on the first pitch hits a booming home run off Verlander, and the Brewers have a 1-0 lead in the first inning.
Well, yeah, Ryan Braun with the launches one out to left field there right away in the top of the first inning. Brewers go up 1-0, and Yasmani Grandal would follow suit in the top of the second to give the Brewers a 2-0 lead again in the second inning.
Grandal will certainly have a chance to be at the All-Star game, and he rips that one into deep right field, and that one's going to fly. Yasmani Grandal with a solo shot.
But hi, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin, BA right there talking about Yasmani Grandal possibly being an All-Star, and one would certainly hope that he would be an All-Star come next month out in Cleveland. We'd go to the bottom of the fourth, Robinson Chirinos with a single to left to score a run for the Houston Astros. Also, Tony Kemp doubles in that inning as well. So 3-2 lead, the Houston Astros had one right there. We move ahead again. A lot of strikeouts in between for Justin Verlander. He would finish with 15. The Brewers struck out 24 times as a team on Wednesday night. But Eric Thames stepped to the plate and would dump one right into those Crawford boxes out there in left field. And the look on Justin Verlander's face after that one was, I would say, pretty priceless.
1-2 the count. Verlander deals. And Thames in the air to left field. Going back on it is Bradley. And this one is gone. A game-tying home run for Eric Thames. Opposite field into the Crawford boxes.
3-3 tied up in the top of the seventh right there. Justin Verlander was absolutely cruising up until that point. Hence the look on his face during that home run from Eric Thames. Brewers tied up at 3 right there. We go back and forth all the way until the top of the 14th inning when Mike Moustakas. Well, let's go back to a batter before that where Ryan Braun just missed a shot to right field, warning track power, but a batter or two later, Mike Moustakas would not miss one, and he put this one 435 feet to right center.
Moustakas drives one deep right center field, and there it goes! Mike Moustakas does it again! A two-run bomb, number 21, and the Brewers have the lead in the 14th inning.
Yeah, a lot of moose calls right there, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Brewers go up 5-3 at that point in the top of the 14th inning. Jesus Aguilar would add an RBI single, hits a liner right to the shortstop. It would get through somehow, and Yasmani Grandal would come around and score to give the Brewers a 6-3 lead. Adrian Hauser works a clean bottom half of the 14th inning. He worked two innings, just one hit allowed, one walk, and three strikeouts. His ERA is down to 2.49. He picks up the win. He's 2-1 on the season. The Brewers with the victory go up to 39-29, 17-16 on the road, and Houston would fall to 48-23 on the season as well. So they are a freight train running away with that AL West. The Brewers come into play today with a game lead over the Chicago Cubs at 39-29. Let's turn the page to tonight's game and get you the Waukesha Sports Card starting lineups.
You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on The Fan. Who's batting first? Here's today's look around the diamond with the starting lineup. Sponsored by Waukesha Sports Cards, your shopping headquarters for sports collectibles and authentic hand-signed memorabilia. Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com for a list of their upcoming autograph signings.
The opener of a three-game set out at Oracle Park in the Bay Area. Right there on the San Francisco Bay, the Brewers and the Giants getting it going just over an hour from now when Drew Pomeranz will toe the slab for the Giants. But first, let's get you the lineups quickly for the Milwaukee Brewers, the visiting Milwaukee Brewers, coming in at 39-29, managed by Craig Counsell. Leading off and in center field tonight, Lorenzo Cain batting second, and out in right field as usual, it's Christian Yelich batting third. And out in left field tonight, Ryan Braun batting cleanup. And behind home plate, Yasmani Grandal batting fifth. And at third base, the talk of the town, Mike Moustakas batting sixth. And at second base, Hernán Pérez batting seventh. And playing first base tonight, Jesus Aguilar gets a start batting eighth. And playing shortstop tonight, Orlando Arcia batting ninth. And doing the pitching, it's Zach Davies. And for the San Francisco Giants, leading off and playing second tonight, Joe Panik batting second. And at left field, Brandon Belt batting third, and at first base, my goodness, it's the Kung Fu Panda, Pablo Sandoval hitting third and playing first base tonight for the Giants, batting fourth, and behind home plate as well for the Giants, it's Buster Posey batting fifth, and at third, Evan Longoria batting sixth, and at shortstop for the Giants, Brandon Crawford batting seventh, and in right field, it's Kevin Pillar batting eighth, and in center field, Steven Duggar batting ninth, and doing the pitching for the Giants, it's Drew Pomeranz. Those lineups for you again one more time. It's Cain, Yelich, Braun, Grandal, Moustakas, Perez, Aguilar, Arcia, and Davies. And for the Giants, it's Panik, Belt, Sandoval, Posey, Longoria, Crawford, Pillar, Duggar, and Drew Pomeranz. And a closer look at that pitching matchup tonight for you. Zach Davies, 7-0 with a 2.41 ERA in 13 starts in 2019. Davies continues to impress in 2019. He's had just two wins in his last two starts, both against Pittsburgh. He went five innings, allowing three runs on seven hits, walked one, and struck out three in a Brewers 5-3 win back on Saturday. He's 0-1 with a 1.64 ERA in two starts against the Giants in his career. He's taking on the left-handed pitching Drew Pomeranz, who is 1-7 with a 7.16 ERA and a 1.75 whip in 11 starts so far in 2019. Pomeranz, it's obviously a rough year for a down Giants squad this year after getting rocked by a terrible Baltimore team back on May 31st. He did shut down the Dodgers last time out, however, because you can't predict baseball. He went five scoreless innings in a 2-1 Giants victory a week ago tonight. He's 0-1 with an even 8 ERA in two starts against Milwaukee in his career. Let's hear from Brewers manager Craig Counsell, who spoke after the Brewers' 6-3 win on Wednesday night.
This is the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. What's Craig Counsell have planned for today's game? Let's find out with today's scoop from the skipper on The Fan.
Brewers pull out a big victory in 14 innings back on Wednesday night. They had the day off yesterday. Craig Counsell spoke to reporters after the Brewers' big victory on Wednesday. Mike Moustakas, obviously the hero. A 435-foot shot in the top of the 14th inning. Brewers hang on for the win. Here's manager Craig Counsell.
No, yeah. One walk and 24 strikeouts in 14 innings. That's, yeah, but we pitched really well, man. I thought that our bullpen was incredible tonight, and Brandon Woodruff was really good on a night where, you know, the other guy was just lights out. So it's, you know, we battled hard, we fought hard, we did a lot of things really well. A lot of guys did, you know, things, enough things, and we come out with a win.
Is Verlander the best that you guys have seen at this point in the season?
Well, yeah, I mean, his stuff, he just got on a roll after the second inning where it you know, he was using four pitches, and it felt like the hitter walked up there and it was 0-2, you know, it was strike, and we weren't taken. There were some swings, foul balls, you know, and then you get 0-2 on him, and it's, you know, you're just battling, and he had reflected that, and Eric got a fastball a little bit up and just kind of blocked it out to left field. You know, that was really the only other, you know, piece of action we had going on, and we didn't really have any scoring opportunities. The home runs, just some well-struck balls helped us out.
Woody, you just had that three-batter stretch there. What was it, the third or fourth inning? And what was that fly ball that, you know, I don't think Ben knew it was going to hit off the scoreboard or what it was going to do. It ended up going around those boxes.
Yeah, I mean, it was just hit at the wrong spot. It's a really tough spot. The ball's tailing, and you don't know where it's going to end up. It was a three, really, to me, a two-hitter stretch, you know. Chirinos and Kemp that got him into trouble. You know, he just made a couple mistakes on those pitches, and they did a good job with him.
After that, nothing.
No, he was great. I was really proud of him in the seventh inning. He went out there and had a really good inning. And then our bullpen, all the guys, man, JJ, Josh, Junior, Hauser, just you know, good stuff for sure.
We don't typically see back-to-back walks from Josh either, but just the way he was able to get out.
Yeah, but you're right. I think he's a little off mechanically tonight, looked like. You know, the pickoff was huge, helping him out there. And we turned some nice double plays. Carlos had us in the right spot a lot of times. Our infielder's in the right spot tonight. Murph with a nice pickoff call. So our coaches had a good night too, actually, making some good calls. With a number of things, like I said, a lot of people contributed.
To the point about your pitching, Craig, what was it about the execution that you enjoyed? I think that stretch from the fourth on, they didn't even have a hit for multiple.
Yeah, well, we just it's executed pitches. There was some walks in there, but you know, we stayed away from the danger zones of their hitters. And that was it. But it's as much as anything, it's executed pitches that get you a stretch like that. And yeah, I'd say, you know, with the exception of, like you said, that two-batter stretch for Woody, I think we executed pitches all night.
Given what Yelich and Moustakas have been doing for all season, is it kind of fitting that
the
guys have won?
Yeah, well, a lot of credit, because, I mean, Yelich's at-bat, you know, he's down two strikes right away, and he battles back into the at-bat. And that's, you know, in the 14th inning, that's a special at bat. You know, you see, it's tough when there's, you know, you're out there for 4 hours, and Yelly still made that at bat really important after getting down 0-2 to get on base and start something. And then Moose, my God, man, it's you know, again off a lefty, you hit that ball really well.
Seven homers.
Yeah, and they're coming frequently right now. Like I said, he's in quite a stretch right now, and you know, it's pretty impressive.
Pretty good two-game split under the circumstances.
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, look, you walk away with a win against Verlander in Houston. It's a good night.
Did you feel like when Braun, I mean, even when he made an out, just how well he hit the ball to right just before he started?
Yeah.
Did you feel at all?
Yeah, I mean, I thought with Yelly getting on, I thought, we got a chance. This is our spot right here. You know, for both teams, there wasn't scoring opportunity. We had one against Ozuna. You know, that's about it. He made some nice pitches to Yaz, but there weren't scoring opportunities left out there for either team. It was good pitching by both sides.
How's the turf? Is weather a factor in today's game? Let's get the Steins Garden and Home Field and Game Conditions. Steins Premium Weed Control Plus Lawn Food is comparable to national brands for less. Formulated exclusively for Wisconsin lawns. Steins. Planted in Wisconsin, growing with you since 1946.
A lot of good pitching in extra innings, no question about it. It definitely wasn't everybody trying to hit home runs in extra innings, which tends to happen at times in 2019 in Major League Baseball. Brewers do come out with the win, though, on Wednesday night. They look ahead to tonight, trying to get the victory. The Brewers are 39-29. Time now to look at the field and game conditions. Out in San Francisco, perfect fat guy weather. 54 degrees, feels like 49 degrees. Windy, however. Winds out of the 20, west-southwest at 20 miles per hour. Small craft advisory out there on the bay in San Francisco. So wind will be a little bit of a factor tonight. It looks to continue to be pretty strong throughout the night. By the time the game wraps up, it'll be right around the same temperature, 55 degrees at 10 o'clock in San Francisco, California tonight. So weather not an issue. Should get this one in, no problem, as the Brewers go for the victory tonight in the opener of this three-game set between the Brewers and the San Francisco Giants from Oracle Park. Coming up next, it's the McCormick Law Office Roundtable here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. J.R. Radcliffe of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, as well as Radio Joe Zanzola of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, will join us next on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief right here on The Fan.
It's time to debate the big issues surrounding the crew. Get ready for the roundtable. Brought to you by McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And it's live from the Hyundai West Dallas on Deck Studios here at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mayor Mitch getting you set for game one of three between the Giants and the Brewers out in San Francisco. Zach Davies on the mound for the crew against Drew Pomeranz for the San Francisco Giants. And also stick around for the Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show immediately following after the last pitch. You guys make the switch right back here to the Fan for the post-game show with Tim Allen tonight. Time now for the McCormick Law Office Roundtable, and we'll hit the Great Midwest Bank Hotline and welcome in this man right here, Radio Joe Zanzola of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Weekdays 10 to 2 right here on the Fan with alongside Bill Michaels. Radio Joe, thanks for a couple of minutes this evening. How are you?
I am swell, Mitch. Yourself?
I'm doing well. Did you get any holes in this afternoon?
I didn't. Well, no, actually, I take that back. I did go to the range today. I hit a bucket of balls. So.
How are they flying?
They were flying okay. It can always be better, but that's what practice is for.
Well, it's still early in the season. There's a lot of time to improve, like a Travis Shaw or Jesus Aguilar. You could use a little seasoning, I'm sure, a couple of months just in here. I know you were golfing in Florida a little bit too, right? So you've had plenty of time. So hopefully they're flying pretty well.
Yeah, no, they're flying pretty well. I actually shot the best round of my life down in Florida. No kidding. So
there you go.
The golf game is good.
Also joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he is the trending sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, J.R. Radcliffe. He's on Twitter at J.R. Radcliffe, C-L-I-F-F-E, right, J.R.?
That is correct. That is me.
Oh, good, I can read. J.R. Radcliffe joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. I'll start with you right away, J.R. What did we learn from the Brewers this week against a true contender in Houston? I mean, Houston they are loaded, and I know they're a little bit banged up, but I feel like that was a very tough test for the Brewers.
Yeah, they're loaded. They're as good a team as there is. And the Brewers were right there, right? And we sometimes get into that trap of talking about how they're not good enough against really good teams. And then you look at everybody's record against really good teams, and you see that they're pretty much the Brewers are as good as anybody out there. I mean, the Astros are the best against good teams. But the fact that they battled back to make that first game a 10-8 game, even though I think you could safely say, you know, the Astros pretty much won that game going away, even though the final score was two runs. But then to find a way against Justin Verlander, who was absolutely vintage that night. I still don't know how Eric Thames hit that home run to tie the game in the seventh. And then to keep that offense somehow from scoring all those innings later to set up a game-winning home run for Mike Moustakas. That's an that's an incredible win. That's a theft.
Yeah.
Against the best team in baseball.
And the Astros,
phenomenal.
Yeah, the Astros only had 5 hits in that game, which is, I mean, for that offense, I mean, and Joe, the Brewers pitching, you know, Adrian Hauser, you're seeing that too, and it's just, I mean, how big of a win was that on Wednesday, Joe?
No, I think it was a pretty big win, and all I really wanted going into that 2-game series against Houston was just a split. I mean, it really didn't matter. Me, you would have thought going up against, you know, Brad Peacock in the first game would, you know, likely be the easier win for the Brewers and not against Justin Verlander. But again, you know, baseball's a crazy game and crazy things happen. And you were able to hold your own in game two. And I think it was pretty impressive to see Brandon Woodruff go out there and battle against Justin Verlander. Yeah, he didn't strike out 15 guys like Verlander did, but Woodruff held his own and got through 7 innings like Verlander, kept the Brewers in that baseball game. And I really think it is impressive to see guys like Eric Thames continue to step up, because, you know, we know that first base is a question mark, but if you look at the Thames numbers, it's really not that bad, and I think he should get the majority of the at-bats right now. So, either way, you know, you're good with the split here, and hopefully with these next two series between the Giants and the Padres, I'd be fine with a split, you know, in that 6-game stretch, or even try to win both of the series, take 2 out of 3, and I think that's a huge success for the Brewers.
Yeah, no question about it. And Joe, I know you guys spent a lot of time on your show this week talking about Mike Moustakas, and obviously the huge homer on Wednesday night, and he continues. I mean, he's having a career year. I mean, the guy really is. He's got, what is it, 21 home runs now after the big one on Wednesday. He's just having a gigantic season. And I mean, I would like to see him here, Joe, beyond this year, but I don't know if I'm ready to back the, you know, the Brinks truck up for him. You know, he's 30 years old, going to be 31, I think, before next season. You know, that's not too bad in baseball years, but I think a 3-year deal seems to be where everybody's kind of at, and I'm kind of there too. But what are you thinking financially for that? And are you even on board with keeping him here long term?
Well, there's just a whole bunch of different things to look at. The first thing is, yes, Mike Moustakas is having a career season right now. You look at the numbers, you compare it to what he's done throughout his career. I mean, it's ridiculous what he's putting together, and he's on pace for at least 45 home runs. Now, if he can keep that production up throughout the course of the season into the second half, and he finishes the year with those kind of numbers and plays a pivotal part in getting the Brewers into the postseason and deep into the postseason, then, yeah, I think he's going to get paid significant money. You know, maybe I'm guessing if those numbers hold up, he could get paid maybe 17, 18, 19, maybe close to $20 million a year for 3-4 years.
Yeah.
I bet you there would be a team out there, especially for a corner infielder who now has some versatility playing second base. I think there's a team that'd be willing to pay that. However, if the production comes down in the second half and he comes back down to earth, then I think there is a more reasonable contract, like a $12 million, $13 million thing with Moustakas. He has an $11 million option with the Brewers for next season. And again, Mike Moustakas wants to try and get paid. He's come up empty the last couple of years, so I'm not sure he would take that mutual option or not. That's a whole other thing. Would I like Mike Moustakas here long-term for the Brewers? Absolutely, sure. I would, but then you have to decide what you're going to do at second base and first base. Keston Hiura should be your second baseman of the future, and then that means first base. Do you bring Eric Thames back? Probably not. And you're probably going to give up on Jesus Aguilar unless he just all of a sudden figures it out starting tonight, which means Travis Shaw might be your first baseman. So there's a whole bunch of different things to look at. I am definitely not opposed to bringing Mike Moustakas back. I'd like to have him back, but it's got to be at the right price because, look, David Stearns, he's got to be very smart with his money, and he can't re-sign everyone, guys. He just can't. He can't do it. So there's going to be a limit for guys like Mike Moustakas. If the production continues to be this good, it's going to be more expensive and harder for Stearns to keep him long-term.
Where are you at with Moustakas, JR? Is it just kind of a career year type of thing, or are you all in on this long-term situation with Moustakas playing third base for the next couple of years?
I think the thing we don't know is just exactly how the market shapes up. You know, Joe alluded to it. With him going into free agency each of the past 2 years and not getting anything close to what he thought he was going to do, maybe he and his agent sort of assess the situation and see that could happen a third time. It's really unclear where the offseason goes from here. You know, there's conversations about, you know, some labor strife down the line here in a couple of years. maybe he does take that mutual, you know, it's a mutual option, that $11 million. Maybe he does decide to do that next year, and maybe we're right back in the same place again next year. You look at the overall profile of Mike Moustakas. He's not, I mean, this is a little bit of a spike the last year and a half. This isn't something I think you'd expect going forward as he gets up into, you know, into his 31, 32, 33 years old. But it also sort of depends on what Travis Shaw does. If Travis Shaw bounces back and is the player he was the past two seasons, that's probably the guy you want at third base, because he's under greater control, you know, financially. You can afford him for a longer period of time. He's a shade younger. He's probably the guy you keep at third base, and then, you know, you've got Ketson here at second base, and maybe there isn't room for Mike Moustakas at that point. I mean, obviously that's silly to say based on what he's done this year. You could find room for that bat in your lineup if you had to, but I think there's those two unknowns, what the offseason picture is going to bring for him and a lot of free agents. And maybe there's somebody just like him who's available at a discounted rate because of the way the market sets. And what happens to Travis Shaw? I think that's a big variable as well.
Talking with J.R. Radcliffe of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, if I could talk, and also Radio Joe Zanzola of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network here on The Fan. And J.R., you brought up, you know, finances and being able to afford guys. And obviously the two big free agent fish came off the board conveniently after the MLB draft, where teams didn't have to give up any compensation. And so now the Brewers didn't get either of those guys, and I know Brewers Twitter thought that was a lock to get both those guys. It was a matter of who they wanted and when they wanted them, but that didn't happen. Of course, Dallas Keuchel goes to the Braves, and Craig Kimbrel goes to the Cubs. And money, do you think money was the issue there, JR, or was that just, I mean, it takes two to tango? I mean, what's your thoughts on that whole situation?
I really don't think they were in on Dallas Keuchel. And I know he still makes a little bit of sense, but you see 1 year, $13 million. I know that's probably a little bit beyond the financial, what the Brewers would have liked to have done financially. I mean, they found Gio Gonzalez for $2 million. Like, it's easy to see that they're willing to make those deals, and mm-hmm. they've worked, so why go after a guy for $13 million? But I just don't think he was somebody they truly wanted to pursue. And I think with Kimbrel, it was a matter of the years, you know, 3 years, $43 million. That is a lot of money. That's a long-term commitment for a reliever who, you know, he's getting into his 30s too. We don't know how sustainable his success will be for the future couple of years.
And I definitely think the Cubs were willing to go that third year, and I don't know if anybody else was, which is how he probably ended up in Chicago.
I mean, it's a huge upgrade for the Cubs. It really is in the short term, and maybe the long term as well. That's personally a deal that, heck, if in a vacuum, I would have done that, of course. He's one of the most dominant strikeout pitchers of all time, pretty much, coming out of the bullpen. So it's a shame the Brewers didn't get him. I think those years were kind of scaring him away, and I think if they'd gotten to a bidding war, I think the Cubs probably would have upped the ante anyway.
And there are other guys out there, Radio Joe Zanzola, that are probably going to be on the trade block, if not officially, Madison Bumgarner, Marcus Stroman. Is there somebody else out there, maybe, Joe, that you're going for? I'm on the Marcus Stroman train, I think. You're probably going to have to give up the most to get him, but I think he's the guy that makes the most sense in terms of clubhouse fit and just age and team control. Everything about Stroman screams, let's go get him.
Well, I mean, yeah, with Stroman and his situation, yeah, I mean, I would not be opposed to getting Marcus Stroman. The thing is, with Stroman, he does have 1 year of control left. It's a fourth arbitration year, so that's good. He wouldn't be a rental player, and I'd feel a little bit better parting with prospects to get him. Whereas Madison Bumgarner, yeah, I mean, he's established his whole career. We know what Madison Bumgarner is. The guy's won World Series. He's got a lot of experience. The numbers right now that he's putting together in San Francisco don't necessarily dictate that he's having a great season. So maybe that changes his value a little bit. But you got to wonder how many other teams are going to be trying to bid against them. Because there's only one trade deadline this year and you don't have the waiver deadline in August, you know, a lot of teams are going to have to ask themselves, okay, what do we want to do here? Do we want to be buyers, and are we interested in taking on a starting pitcher? There's so many variables to this. Madison Bumgarner, would I like him in a Brewers uniform? Sure. But, you know, I'm not going to give up four prospects to get him, especially when you only get him for just a couple of months. Again, it's small market economics. For someone like me, I'm all for David Stearns and having limits to everything. I mean, Stearns will ask about everyone. I'm sure he's looked into Madison Bumgarner. I'm sure he's looking into Stroman, but he's got a limit to how much he's going to be willing to spend for these guys. And really, the thing is, it seems like, and I don't know if JR, if there's other names out there, but Stroman and Bumgarner only they seem to be the only two names out there that people are talking about.
So
I don't
far,
know how
yep.
many other starting pitchers could be out on the market.
Yeah, I don't really have anything off the top of my head. I mean, it's still pretty early. We got another month before that really starts to heat up, I think. And, you know, Bumgarner, he's tomorrow's starter for the Giants, by the way. He takes on Jimmy Nelson. That's a 3:05 Central time first pitch tomorrow, so keep an eye on that one for sure. I think a lot of Brewers fans will have interest in that game, no doubt about it. And, JR, I'll go back to you about as long as the Brewers don't give up Keston Hira, I think I'm okay with it. But is there anybody that I know Hira came up and had a tremendous showing, and he's obviously raked tremendously. I know Radio Joe had a tweet today at Radio Joe Sports kind of sulking over Keston Hira. What, do you have a grand slam last night or something? Or it was he had
two
a great,
home runs and a grand slam, yeah.
Yeah, 15-1 victory for San Antonio last night. He just continues to rake, but the Brewers decided to go down with him. And JR, I'll go back to you. Is there any way you're getting rid of Keston Hira this season?
I mean, I really don't think so. And, I mean, you talked about starting pitchers. The other sexy name that's come up is Max Scherzer with the Nationals.
Oh, yeah, yep.
That they might be willing to do something there. But
he's got kind of a brutal contract, though.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think the Brewers have the player capital to do it either. You know, after Keston Hira, they've got some up-and-comer promising names, but they don't have a ton of prospects. Their minor league system is still sort of middle of the road. So I don't know if they're going to get in with any of the big fish. Starting pitching is in great shape right now. I mean, they've got depth. They've got guys who are performing. I'm not so sure that they're going to be in the market for starters. Relievers are always kind of the best place to improve at that trade deadline. And there's going to be a few guys out there. Kirby Yates is a name that you might see, which again, probably is going to be too rich for the Brewers' blood, but there's a lot of opportunities there in the relief market. So I really doubt they're going to get another starting pitcher.
He is J.R. Radcliffe of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Anything cooking up for the site right now, J.R., that you can spoil?
No, I don't think so. It was a pretty slow week with the draft, though, coming up next week. We're going to be having a lot of, I'm sure, a lot of Bucks content. I've got sort of a free agency primer, a glossary primer that'll be posting early next week. Matt Velasquez has a ton of coverage. He posted a story today about what the Bucks might do with that 30th pick in the draft next week, next Thursday. So that's a really interesting read because it gives you all the different sort of scenarios that they could do with that. So we'll have our Bucks podcast coming up early next week. We've got a lot to talk about Bucks, and obviously the Brewers. As we go, we'll just keep marching along with more of that.
Sounds awesome. Thanks for a couple of minutes tonight, JR, and have yourself a lovely evening. And we'll do it again sometime soon, hopefully.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you then.
All right, there he is, J.R. Radcliffe of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Twitter, at J.R. Radcliffe. He is the trending sports reporter there, so obviously a lot of coverage, as you heard right there, coming up on that website. Radio Joe, I'm going to let you go as well, let you have enjoy your evening. I don't know if you're out on the porch or anything. It looks like the weather's kind of holding off. I haven't been outside for a couple of hours personally, but out here, at least in the burbs, it's looking pretty good. So have yourself a lovely evening, Joe, okay? Thanks for a couple of minutes.
Anytime, Mitch. You got it.
There he is on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Radio Joe Zanzola of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network statewide and 10 to 2 right here on the Fan. He's on Twitter at Radio Joe Sports, and they joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, we'll go inside the clubhouse and hear from our WSSP Milwaukee Baseball Insider, Adam McKelvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. Coming up next on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show, Mayor Mitchin. Game 1 of 3 between the Brewers and the Giants out in San Francisco. More next on The Fan.
Baseball is 90% mental, and the other half is physical. So who's injured on the crew? Here's today's injury report. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yes, it is, and it's live from the Hyundai West Allis on Deck Studios here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mayor Mitch here, getting you set for the opener of a 3-game set between the Brewers and the Giants from San Francisco. Giants coming in 28-38, Brewers 39-29. Giants getting a look right here up on the flat screen here. Giants not very good on offense. Drew Pomeranz also not very good at pitching in 2019. He's 1-6. This is the Giants starter. 1-6 with a 7.16 ERA and a 1.75 whip, which that means nearly 2 base runners per inning for the Giants starting pitcher tonight. He did, however, shut down the Giants last time out, so Perhaps he's found something so far in 2019. Speaking of finding something in 2019, Yolis Chacin is expected to make the start on Monday as the Brewers head to San Diego and continue this West Coast tilt. He is going to come back with his back tightening up on him. He was coming off the 10-day injured list and is expected to make the start on Monday. Otherwise, Gio Gonzalez on the 10-day DL as well. Not likely to return on the road trip out west for Gio Gonzalez. He's 2-1 with a 3.19 ERA in 2019. So he's doing a pretty solid job for the Brewers. Not expected to return, however, for the foreseeable future, as he is not going to make the road trip for the Brewers. Yolis Chacin, however, will be coming back on Monday. And the Brewers did make a trade today as well. Jake Petrichka, just a brief stint with the Brewers. He was sent to Texas and the Rangers organization for a player to be named later. He'll be optioned immediately to their AAA affiliate. So he has been moved from the Milwaukee Brewers organization. Not really much of a spot left for him going forward as the Brewers get Jeremy Jeffress back and kind of that bullpen starts to get healthy again. And not a whole lot of playing time in his future for the Milwaukee Brewers. So they moved on from him again. Are going to get a player to be named later, and we'll see what happens down the road. We'll see who they get. We're going to hit a quick break here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. We'll go inside the clubhouse next with WSSP Milwaukee baseball insider Adam McKelvey of the Brewers.com and MLB.com. He joined the boys on the Wendy's Big Show just a couple of hours ago here on the Fan. We'll get you that conversation, some talk about the upcoming All-Star game, as well as what to do with Freddy Peralta now that Yolis Chacin is coming back on Monday. We'll get into that next on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. Mayor Mitch here rolling right along, getting you set for the opener of three between the Brewers and the Giants. Zach Davies, 7-0, looks to keep his winning streak on the line against Drew Pomeranz for the San Francisco Giants. More next here on The Fan.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes info as we take you inside the clubhouse. Brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch and dinner and try their fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coaches on Lake Dunoon. This is the Pella Windows and Doors on Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief, right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mayor Mitch Ross here, getting you set for first pitch of the opener between the Brewers and the Giants out at Oracle Park in San Francisco, McCovey Cove, right on the bay there. It's a beautiful, beautiful baseball park. I was fortunate and blessed to be able to go there a couple of weeks ago. I've only been to three baseball parks in the country. Miller Park, Wrigley Field, well, County Stadium as well. Wrigley Field, and now Oracle Park. And that Coke bottle you see out there tonight, that's a kid's slide. And I don't know if that's a new addition. I never knew that, but it's definitely a kid's slide. That gigantic Coke bottle out in left field at Oracle Park. Beautiful baseball park. And a beautiful weekend for baseball as the Brewers go for the sweep this weekend and build off that big victory on Wednesday night over the Astros. Mike Moustakas, the hero, with a two-run shot in the top of the 14th. They would add one more and hang on for the 6-3 victory on Wednesday to go to 39-29. Giants 28-38 as we open up this series. First pitch coming up at 9:15. You're stuck with us for just a couple of more minutes. Let's go inside the clubhouse and talk to WSSP Milwaukee baseball insider Adam McKelvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. He joined the boy on the big show, the boys on the big show this afternoon just a couple of hours ago here on The Fan. And Baby Tausch asked about Freddy Peralta with Yolis Chacin coming back on Monday. What's up with Freddy Peralta, starting rotation or bullpen?
Well, I don't know, because they've used him in both roles, and I still think that they feel like there is a role on the major league club for Freddy Peralta. They thought it was obviously the rotation because they put him there to start the year. You know, they need to figure out whether he's got the pitch mix to be a starting pitcher. And if they remain convinced of that, then maybe there is an argument to be made for having him go start at the AAA level and just build innings and kind of be that next guy in reserve. Now, you've called up Jimmy Nelson. You've kind of dipped into your reserves a little bit, Corbin Burns in the bullpen. And I think there you could at least make an argument that it could be useful to get Freddy Peralta down there. But that's up to the Brewers to decide whether they remain convinced that he can do that he can succeed in that role long term, or whether as a, you know, with that kind of two versions of his fastball plus the curveball, whether he's best to just go pitch a couple of innings out of the bullpen every few days.
Or just,
and I think those are conversations that are ongoing.
Or just make Manny Pena his personal catcher and let's see what happens then. That's what my preference is. This is the thing about the starting rotation. Billy and I were talking about this earlier today off the air. And if you start looking at this, so if Davies continues to pitch the way he does, and Jimmy Nelson, you know, comes around, I know I'm talking about ifs here, but Jimmy Nelson comes around the way he is, Woodruff pitches the way he does, I mean, those are could be three really good pitchers, and then Chacin being the wild card of the, you know, what he does the rest of the year, if he looks like last year more than he's looked like the first couple of months, this team's pitching, starting pitching staff may be a lot better than people thought by the time they get to about middle to end of July.
Well, that's what they're going to have to bank on. And we're, I feel like we're in the same spot we were last year,
yep,
where everybody looking at the Brewers and trying to figure out what's going to happen at the trade deadline is going to look at that rotation and be wholly unimpressed and assume that David Stearns is going to go out and get a starter. Now, remember last year he tried to. He was on Kevin Gausman before he went to the Braves and some other starters. So it's not like he didn't try to make that happen last year. But it you know, until Gio came in late, you know, it didn't. So, look, they, again, are in this territory where it's strength in numbers versus having those top guys. And you saw the other night what a Justin Verlander can do for you.
Sure.
Maybe a bad example because the Astros lost the game. But it's a game where, you know, if you can get at least one guy to go out deep in the game every fifth day, that makes the rest of your staff better. And, you know, Woodruff could be that guy potentially. Jimmy Nelson is going to have to show a lot to prove he's that guy. Chacin is going to have to show a lot. He did it last year, but he's not done it this year. And he's certainly a bounce-back candidate, but he's got a lot to prove. And I think, I mean, I think it's fair to say Zach Davies still has something to prove that he can sustain this, because this is a level of excellence that he has not shown in the major leagues over a full season. So there are definitely questions, and the only thing I'm sure of is that every time there's an article written or a discussion had about what's going to happen at the trade deadline, the Brewers are going to be mentioned as a team that are after starting pitchers. So I think we need to buck up, get ready for that, and I'm sure David Stearns okay. will look. I'm sure he'll you know, just like last year, if there's a deal to be made that he likes, I think he'll make it, but that remains really tough because those top guys are hard to find.
Some of the Brewers are hot, while some are not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not? Brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashions since 1926. Find out more at bayviewshade.com.
Well, the Brewers themselves are pretty hot. They've won 5 out of 6. A big one on Wednesday night, after beating the Astros to go 39-29 on the 2019 season. The Giants are 28-38, and that's who the Brewers take on tonight from Oracle Park in San Francisco. Take a quick look now at who's hot and who's not. Christian Yelich, 11 of his last 22, 3 doubles, 2 homers, 3 driven in, a couple of walks. 11 of his last 22 in the last 5 games for Christian Yelich. Mike Moustakas, obviously hot as well. 8 for his last 20. He's got 3 homers and 6 driven in his last 5 games. Eric Thames, 6 for his last 17. And from there, it kind of drops off. Jesus Aguilar is hitting .300 over the last week. 3 for 10. Did get a little bit lucky with that RBI single on Wednesday. The ball took a bad hop, bounced over the head of the Houston shortstop, Miles Straw. Who's not hot? Lorenzo Cain, unfortunately. 3 for his last 23. Hitting .130 over the last week. Travis Shaw just 2 of 14 since coming back up. And Ben Gamel, Big Benny, 2 of his last 12 for your Milwaukee Brewers as they go for the victory tonight to go to 40-29. They sit at 39-29. Zach Davies gets the start tonight for the crew. He's 7-0 with a 2.41 ERA. He, of course, is hot. He allowed 3 runs over 5 innings in one of his shorter starts of the year last time out on Saturday against Pittsburgh. But he has obviously had a tremendous season for the Milwaukee Brewers. Conversely, Drew Pomeranz, not so much. 1-6 with a 7.16 ERA in 11 starts so far in 2019. It's interesting to see he still has a job, but San Francisco really is kind of in a weird spot right now as they kind of have to begin to think about moving on from a lot of their guys from the championship squads. They won 3 out of 5 back from 2010 through 2014. So obviously some of those guys still hanging around. They got to definitely think about breaking that thing up. But they do have a new front office in place, so we'll see what happens out there. Brewers and Giants going at it here coming up in just moments. Stay tuned for the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show after the last pitch. You make the switch right back here on the Fan. Mayor Mitch, everyone, thanks for listening. My thanks to Evan Heffelfinger on the other side of the glass, J.R. Radcliffe, and Radio Joe Zanzola for joining us on the roundtable. We'll talk to you guys after the game on the Fan.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.